Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. After 2 days and six rounds of voting with no House Speaker chosen yet, lawmakers vote to adjourn until noon tomorrow. The mood in the chamber tense as the House clerk tries to announce the vote tally.
On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 214.
And again, they reconvene tomorrow at noon. GOP Congressman Kevin McCarthy of California wants to be Speaker, but cannot win the votes needed. And as this continues, CBS's Scott McFarland reports.
Through the night, we watched a series of backroom negotiations and meetings, but not enough to break this logjam that has stalemated the U.S. House of Representatives and, to a degree, paralyzed the Congress. Until they choose a Speaker, they can't swear in the elected members of the U.S. House, so there is no functioning sitting U.S. House of Representatives. They can't do legislation, committees, or investigations.
California is dealing with a second atmospheric river, massive amounts of rain falling across much of the state from Los Angeles to Oregon. Some places could get as much as 10 inches. Chief Kevin Taylor of the Montecito Fire Protection District.
The highest risk will be overnight, sometime between midnight and 3 a.m., and as a result, we're asking the community members located in the at-risk parcels on the storm impact consideration map to evacuate.
There are concerns about flooding and landslides. Eight people have been found dead by police officers doing a welfare check in a home in Enoch, Utah. Discovered were the bodies of three adults and five minors. Officials say it appears each suffered gunshot wounds. Police say there is no threat to the public, and they do not believe there are any suspects at large. The man who is accused of killing four University of Idaho students has been extradited from Pennsylvania to Moscow, Idaho. CBS's Donya Backus.
The Washington State University PhD criminology student could appear before an Idaho judge within the next 48 hours. Once he does, a probable cause affidavit which details the evidence against him could be released to the public. Dave Leroy is a former Idaho Attorney General. He has no association with this case.
This is an unusual case, but what we're importantly trying to do here now in Idaho is preserve the defendant's right to a fair trial with an impartial jury.
Pope Francis will preside over the Requiem Mass for Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. Vatican analyst Philip Pulella.
The prayers will be slightly different, but for the rest of it, it'll be pretty much similar as if he had died a while on the throne of St. Peter.
On Wall Street today, stocks ended higher. The Dow closed up 133 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Former State Senator Randy Hopper is out of the race for the 8th Senate District seat long held by Alberta Darling. In a statement, Hopper says, quote, "My candidacy threatens to act as a spoiler by splitting the vote and allowing a divisive fringe candidate to win the primary," unquote. The fringe candidate comment apparently directed at Rep. Janelle Branchon, who's promoted false claims the 2020 presidential election was stolen. Hopper endorsing Rep. Dan Nodal, he'll face off against Branchon, Deansville Village President Van Mobley, and Concordia University student Robert Albrightson in the GOP primary February 21st. The sole Democrat in the race, lawyer Jody Habers-Simkin, won't face a primary opponent. Governor Evers Monday in his second inaugural address says he hopes to expand badger care, overturn the 1849 abortion ban, and fully fund public schools. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Save my soul. Let music. Oh.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is... done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. The Shaw, 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at...
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, as I said, the Republican clown show, at least they, you know, didn't waste the entire evening. Adjourned early. You know, they got something accomplished. You got to give them credit. They threw in the towel when they knew that they weren't going to get anything done. You know, maybe they had dinner reservation. Or maybe more likely. That's what I've been saying. More likely, they needed to get on to out of the doing their job so they could get on Fox News early so they could, you know, maybe throw down with Sean Hannity. And here to share some thoughts on the throwdown and well, the train wreck that is our House of Representatives at the moment. I've asked my good friend Pete Dominic to come share some thoughts. Pete's a stand-up comic and host of Stand Up With Pete podcast, standupwithpete.com, the website. Pete, thanks for taking time for us, man.
Rick Smith, always have time for you and your show and your wonderful, wonderful audience. And I want them to know that I didn't get a lot of gifts this year. So if they want to send me anything, that's what I'm here for. And I am very excited to watch the Republicans tearing each other apart. And I feel a little guilty about it because I don't want to become what I dislike, what I, you know, I don't want to become these people and enjoy their pain. But, you know, it's not actual pain. It's not like they're losing their health care, which is what they cheer for on the right. It's not like you're losing your life, which is what they cheer for. They target people. They call people in the LGBTQ community now groomers and evil. I mean, it's dangerous what they're doing. What I'm doing, I'm taking joy in them sniping at each other politically, including the right-wing talkers, Sean Hannity and Lauren Boebert going at it tonight. It's so important, Rick. I don't know if you know how important it is.
How important is it? I mean, because I didn't watch, so I never watched. So how important is it that Hannity and Lauren Gun Fetish Barbie go at it?
It is my theory, sir. My well-thought-out theory. Someone should give me a PhD for this. That it's right-wing media that is the tail that wags the dog of Republican politicians. Yeah. There's nothing remotely close to that on the left. There's nothing like that. Not one host, not one show, nothing. But the right-wing media has been for years telling Republican policymakers what policies to make or unmake. And the politicians get elected by the people but then have to answer to Hannity, to Tucker, to now Bannon and others. And it's up to them. They have all the power. The right-wing media has all of the power to create a narrative, to create a grievance in the audience, which helps people get elected, helps them stay in office. And to see them going at each other, I think it's really very important. I think it was not really predicted just how bad it would get. But what do you expect? You know, Matt Gaetz said something that made a tremendous amount of sense. It is a sentence I never thought I would say. But he said it was the greatest rip and criticism on Kevin McCarthy tonight. He said for decades, McCarthy had been selling shares of himself. And nothing could be more accurate. He sold out every single shred that he could, that he was left completely hollow, stands for absolutely nothing or no one with very few friends left. And, you know, he'll probably end up getting a seat. It looks like, I don't know. What do you think? But I think this is very important, this point I'm making, this brilliant, brilliant point I'm making about right-wing media being the policymakers. And they don't make policy. They just create grievances. Yeah. It's not like they're talking about energy policy. They're talking about, like, trans bathrooms and things that aren't affecting the vast, vast majority of Americans.
Well, we had 4 years under the Trump administration where that's where Trump got his policy initiatives.
Yeah, it's true. But it's like, even then, you would think that Trump, the quote builder, the developer, would have gotten an infrastructure deal done. But he couldn't do it. Why couldn't he do it? Because Republicans couldn't agree and they couldn't get Democrats on board to their horrible ideas. And Donald Trump failed. He failed at getting any governing done. And it's, you have to, any objective political watcher has to objectively look at what Joe Biden has got done in 2 years versus what Trump got done or really undone, which is a lot of what he did was to try to, you know, deconstruct the administrative state. That was always Steve Bannon's plan. And as we find out increasingly, Steve Bannon is Trump's brain and body. They have the same body. They both look like Mr. Potato Head. But wow. It's Biden got more done in 2 years. You're going to quote me on that and put it out on Twitter, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Biden got more done in 2 years than Trump did in 4 years. And it's undebatable.
No, absolutely. And in fact, you know, I said just a minute ago that,
because they can't govern. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
But that is the point. The point is that they're not supposed to govern. And as I said a little bit ago, the reality is this clown show is by design. This fact that my congressman, Scott Pardon Me Perry, you know, came out yesterday and said, you know, the government's corrupt and broken and all of it can't do anything. Yeah. And then didn't do anything. And in one of the most corrupt way possible. I don't know if you're watching this, but are you listening to the demands of these people? It's all about making them more powerful, giving them a better platform. It's all about enriching the representatives, buying their votes. They're selling their votes to the speaker because they know McCarthy's already sold his soul and he'll pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently Marjorie Taylor Greene requested a rocket ship.
Yeah.
And the chairmanship of the Judiciary Committee. But I mean, who knows? Yeah, it's really important to see what's happening. And the House will not be able to get anything done. And it'll continue to damage their brand, which is important that their brand be damaged because they stand for nothing.
Can you damage that brand anymore?
Say it.
Is it possible to damage the Republican brand at this point? I mean, well, you're the still, party of January 6th, the, you know, the party thing. You're good on the list.
You know, the one thing I do want to just remind listeners and to pay attention to keep your eye on the ball of local politics. So it's easy to look at what's happening right now in the House and with the National Republican Party and with their presidential hopefuls on, nominees, who might that be? And say that they're, even though they gain some seats, that they're really not doing, they're failing, that they're hurting themselves, that they are fighting amongst each other, that they can't get anything done. That's easy to say, that the next 2 years in the House is going to be a charade and nothing gets through Congress because of a Republican-run House. But I think it's really important. I just came from my town council meeting, that everybody stay focused on what's happening at their school boards and their town councils, because that's what Steve Bannon's focused on. And I used to share a studio with him, so I'm obsessed with that guy. And I will live my rest of my days. I hope I outlive Steve Bannon. It's the only thing I care about. But what they're doing locally at school boards and town boards and with judges, it's so important. So I hope that people will get involved, go to the board meetings, get involved, show up. It's fun. You make friends. Please do it. I just came from the town board meeting, and it was wonderful. I almost got in a fight with a guy. It was great.
Now, you told me an interesting story, though. The guy that... there was a guy that ran on a platform of standing for term limits. And then when he's term limited out, is actually suing. This is a very Republican thing to do.
It's cheating to stay in power. It's not like I told them tonight. I was like, this is not conservative or liberal, Republican or Democrat. Nobody likes what you're doing. Nobody likes a naked power grab. His name is George Homan. He's the town supervisor of Clarkstown, New York, where I live. And in 2014, when he was first elected, he came out in support of, or when he was a town councilman, he came out in support of term limits. And he gave this thoughtful, long speech using data and quotes from Roosevelt. And so at the town meeting tonight, I went and read his own quotes to him and asked him to answer for it. I mean, and he, the only reason he's flipping is because he's term limited out. It's grotesque, and everybody sees it. The whole town came out, and they were mostly, overwhelmingly against this naked power grab. Nobody likes that.
Now, what about the people who are in favor of term limits?
It's fine to be in favor of term limits. It's fine to not be in favor of term limits, but you don't change your mind on the eve before you're term limited.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Pete Dominic, Pete's stand-up comic, host of Stand Up With Pete podcast. You can find that wherever you find your favorite podcast or go to standupwithpete.com. We'll get links out on social media. I can find that out. Now, as I said a minute ago, the president was in Covington, Kentucky today, showing off the funding that they're going to rebuild a bridge there. And I've been saying for a while, we need to be doing more of that, pointing out that, Joe Biden did that. Big, giant 15-foot cardboard cutouts of him pointing at stuff, saying, I did that. Although, I got to tell you, Biden a better man than I am. I wouldn't spend a dime in Kentucky.
I understand, but that's ego. That's ego, Rick. You gotta keep the trains running. You gotta represent Kentucky. I understand why you wouldn't want to do that. Why anybody wouldn't want to do that. But he's that's his style too. He never gives up on people. It would seem Joe Biden. He's 100 years old, and they might need to have a cardboard cutout because he's not gonna be able to. He can't get around that much. I mean, you're gonna send this guy all over the country. I can't believe, by the way, how old he is. My dad's a couple of years younger than him. The idea that my dad, who's in great shape, but would be able to like do this job, I'm ageist when it comes to certain public office. I'm not going to lie.
No, that's you can be that. I'm not going to cancel you for that.
Like, and I also think that it's different than other jobs. I don't want to get people too upset, but like, there's a couple jobs where probably you shouldn't be doing after a certain age. But, maybe pilot, maybe surgeon. I don't know. But if you are, you could certainly be a lawyer or a banker, whatever you want. You could do all the kind of private sector jobs. But if you are making policy that's going to affect people's lives in the near future, most likely, always in the far future, I think that you should be able to be directly affected by that. I'm very much in support of like young people taking power, and I'm very much an advocate for young people who understand and have harnessed technology, and it's their lives that we're making policy. And it just seems weird to me that 80-year-olds are deciding on climate issues when they're going to be dead in a few years, and these kids are going to have to live with it.
It's a good argument. I actually like what Biden's been doing. I think he's done a really good job.
I do too.
You're given the reality of it, and I don't see who would step into that position. And I think Biden has got to make a decision. Yesterday on if he's running for re-election or not, because the time is getting near. Any thoughts?
I think Kamala Harris will step in, and I think she'll be elected.
All right, that's one of us that thinks that's going to happen, but hey, that's good.
Well, you think she'll run? Like if he decides not to run, she's running, right?
She's going to run. Yeah, I don't think she wins the primary.
Fair enough. Yeah, we can. And I, by the way, on the other side, I've long predicted. Rick, you know me long enough to know my record. I've never been right about any of these things, but I never stop making predictions.
Exactly. I'm in the same boat because, look, I want the guy who's told me flat out he doesn't want the job. Sherrod Brown would be the best president.
Yeah, no, I think that's generally the case with a lot of leadership roles. That's a pretty good way to look at things. And I think he'd be a great president. I love that guy. But it's going to not be Donald Trump. He's done. It's not Ron DeSantis. He can't do it. He's not good enough. The Republican nominee, you heard it here tonight on the Rick Smith Show,
Brian Kemp,
is going to be. No, nobody buys this, and I'm about to blow your mind, sir.
Hit me,
Mike Pompeo. I'll tell you why. Mike Pompeo is very smart, very evil. He's got a lot of credibility, having been at West Point, a congressman, a head of CIA, and Secretary of State. But most importantly, Mike Pompeo is the right kind of jerk. People don't realize it. He is a perfect jerk. He's such a jerk. He's a mean, spirited, deceitful, conniving person. The nominee will be Mike Pompeo. What do you have to say for yourself, Rick?
You know, I'm thinking that, and I'm not thinking you're wrong. I can see that. Yeah. I think the problem with McCarthy.
I've always been wrong up until now.
I look at McCarthy and I don't see him as backstabby enough. I don't see him as deceitful and that kind of. I see him as someone who sold his soul, as someone who will twist in the wind to get what he wants. But
well,
I think
he's hard. McCarthy's hard to see because he's so invisible and hollow.
I don't know. Maybe Pompeo. I'll give that some thought.
Yep.
Because while the others are eating themselves, he will.
Speaking of eating, he's got a great weight loss story. But he has that kind of dramatic weight loss that makes you think he was ill, right? Like you're like, whoa, what a second! Like 6 weeks ago,
yeah,
you were way bigger. What, are you okay, man? Kind of weight loss. But hey, maybe he is legitimate and he's healthy. And if he is, he runs, he gets the nomination. You heard it here.
All right. I keep thinking Brian Kemp, but okay.
Either him or Scott Baio. You heard it here.
Scott, okay. That could be his VP poll.
It's either him or John Voight. You heard it here on the Rick Smith Show.
It's not going to be John Voight.
Tucker Carlson could run.
Stop it. You can't.
He could get the nomination easily. He runs. He is the most powerful, one of the most powerful. Elon Musk. Oh, no, the Constitution wouldn't allow for it, but maybe he'll make a new Constitution.
Maybe he'll buy it.
He could easily buy the Constitution. I read today that Tesla has lost more than he paid for Twitter. Tesla's now lost more than like $40 billion, and that's what he paid for Twitter. It is another unbelievable thing.
Yeah.
To witness, to live through, to watch these James Bond billionaire cartoon villains have such a huge, huge outsized influence on our lives.
No, this is why I say, Elon Musk is the poster child for where we need to go back to the good, tax code of the good socialist president, Dwight David Eisenhower.
Well, we may never go back to the 90% on your top dollar over a certain. It was something like that, right?
But, 92%.
But I mean, David K. Johnston has a new book, I think, that's going to come out and talk about a really interesting tax plan. He's, of course, the author of some really great New York Times bestsellers, award-winning investigative reporter David K. Johnston. Have you had him on the show? He's so good.
We've had him on a couple of times over the years. It's been a while, but we've had him on.
I just talked to him, and, there's just so much. There's a lot. He's one of the only guys that can make taxes interesting, but there's just so many really unfair things that need to be reformed about our tax code that have obviously been written in the law by the people who benefit from them, and it's a ridiculous wealth inequality that's been created primarily as a result of tax policy. Obviously, all the things that you've been talking about forever in terms of labor issues and the degradation of organized labor and many other things play a role, but nothing more than tax policy.
No, we created the largest billionaire class in the history of civilization simply by cutting their taxes down to nothing and shifting the responsibility onto the backs. Florida is the perfect example. We spent 2 weeks in Florida over the holidays. And everywhere you go, you're reaching into your pocket. You want to go to a public park? $10. You want to go across the street? You got to pay a toll. Everywhere you go, you're being nickel. You're not being taxed. No. Didn't raise any taxes, but we're nickel and diming you at every turn.
You get to be in Florida, though, so it's a pretty big deal. As long as there's no algae bloom or doesn't everybody have a gun now in Florida, too?
Yeah. But, as long as you don't cut anybody off or beep your horn.
Oh, God. It's just crazy. These states where they have these gun laws. I was reading about it yesterday. There's just several states now that it's just like, I always am like, am I reading this right? You can just go in and buy a pistol.
Yeah.
And just then you can carry it.
It's the Wild West.
Almost anywhere.
Wild West. Or the version of the Wild West that we're led to believe it was supposed to be.
Exactly right. They checked you at the Wild West. You came in, you put your holster up on a hook. Like you went to a bar, they didn't let you drink in a saloon in the Wild West. Did you know that? I know that because I just saw a movie that told me that was the case, and I'm not sure if it's actually accurate. But
no, there were places where you went into town and you couldn't have the only person that had a gun was the sheriff. That's factual.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, it's like they had six shooters, and you had you couldn't. It took a while to reload.
Exactly. Like, no, this is. You bring this up. I just had this conversation with my son. because I said, look, you know, there were numerous shootings when I was a kid. You know, when I was growing up, there were people shot all over the place, but they all had six shooters. It was, you know, bang, 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 bang. Okay, go. And it took them a while to reload. You didn't have 100 shots and then click a second later, you got another 100.
And you got to, you also got to talk about the kind of, you know, I was just talking to your son about this too. It's so weird. And the ammunition, like the bullets that they tear through your body now, they're meant to destroy, to kill human beings. And, you know, everything is, I call them weapons of mass destruction, these guns that can have, you know, several rounds fired at will. I think they're weapons of mass destruction. I think they, you know, if you can kill a whole bunch of people with any kind of weapon, whether it be a homemade bomb or manufactured gun.
You got it all wrong, Pete. It's for target shooting and hunting.
I like target shooting, by
the way. I do too. I've shot. It's fun.
People that I target shoot with are the most, they're like caricatures of safety people. You know, it's like, that's why I like shooting with them. It's like, I want to make fun of them for how, I'm like, okay, I got it. There's no one anywhere near us. It's okay.
No, my favorite video is there's the guy who's doing a gun shooting video and he shoots himself. He's, I just shot myself.
Oh yeah. I love those. I love those. I'm that guy though too. I'd be that guy. Whatever. If I ever was a teacher of something, I would generally screw it up and embarrass myself in front of everybody. But yeah, it's a really important issue that has got to be addressed. I mean, I'm talking about gun crime as well, but you know, what are the Republicans going to get done? Nothing.
Nothing.
Are they really going to try to investigate? I'm talking about Republicans in the House.
Yes.
Hunter Biden?
Like, yes.
No one really cares.
Yes. We're going to find out what size underwear he wears.
It's crazy. No, it was different with Benghazi and Fast and Furious. It was that was a terrorist attack, and Fast and Furious was gun running. Like, those are sexy scandals, and they weren't really scandals anyway. They were, you know, they were kind of manufactured narratives created by like Hannity and others. And sold to people to think that Hillary Clinton somehow, you know, wanted these contractors to die or whatever it is, right? But this, what they're coming up with now in the writer's room and the Republican Party, no good, not great, Rick. Hunter Biden's the laptop from hell. I mean, and a lot of the people that are selling this stuff, they've lost so much credibility, you know, from Bannon to Giuliani to whoever else is pushing this stuff out. And that's why, you know, some of these younger commentators like Ben Shapiro and Charlie Kirk are really very effective, obviously, like Tucker. But a lot of these things get sold at the Giuliani and My Pillow Guy level, and people are past it. They're done with it. Not everybody, but the critical mass.
So last question I've got for you, because, you know, obviously new year, new legislative body. If eventually they do get a speaker in place. Any predictions, any thoughts? Because I know these, you're really good, as you pointed out a minute ago, with those prediction things. Anything you're paying attention to? Anything that's on your radar?
I mean, I don't think that anything significant will get through Congress and to the president to sign. They might be able to fix some things. They might be able to punch up infrastructure, come together on something like that. But it will be mostly, you know, circus investigations by the House, and the Senate will try to be more serious. Obviously it'll be run by Democrats, but I don't see anything getting through the president other than, you know, a budget or a continuing resolution rather, and lifting the debt ceiling and just a couple things like that. I mean, and when I'm old enough to have covered all 8 years of President Obama. And once he lost the House, that was it for legislation. It was executive orders from that point on.
That's what we're going to get.
The Democrats will get a lot of judges in through the Senate. That's a really good thing. They're going to hammer through as many judges as they can. Biden, that's a huge priority for him. And I got to, you know, Ron Klain, the chief of staff of Joe Biden, should go down in history as a genius.
Let's hope he stays.
Yeah, it's a good point.
There you go. But Pete, appreciate the time as always. Want to have you back on more this year.
Anytime, Rick. Anytime. You look great, by the way. Did you get your hair cut? It looks really good. Like, I don't know who's doing it now. You must have left that last person, because whoever's doing it now really figured out your
head. All right, smart guy. All right, comedian.
Yeah, did you pay for it, though? Just quick question. Did you pay a person?
I did, yes. Thank you for that. Goodbye. Right. Our good friend Pete Dominic. can check out his website. Never mind. I'm not saying the website. No website.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The GOP's Kevin McCarthy is voted down for House Speaker in six tries. Members reconvene at noon tomorrow. Republican Congressman Don Bacon says nothing is getting done.
We could have already passed three sets of bills, part of the commitment to America, and we're on hold. Part of our agenda has now been derailed. We could have already manned our committees.
A huge storm hits California with heavy rain and high wind. Santa Barbara County leaders have ordered evacuations in a high-risk coastal area. Sheriff Bill Brown.
There are going to be mandatory evacuations in three areas of the county, in those three burn scar areas.
The funeral for Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI is tomorrow. Some of the ceremony will take place in St. Peter's Square. And according to Vatican analyst Philip Pulella,
Pope Benedict, before he died, asked that he be buried in the same spot where Pope John Paul II was first buried in 2005.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Three more of Scott Walker's people have resigned from state board appointments more than a year and a half after their terms ended. Kelly Tordeau, Mary Williams, and Becky Levzo stepped away from the Technical College System Board last week. Governor Evers' appointees now begin serving. Many of them have been going to meetings, but haven't been able to vote until confirmed by the state Senate. Police say they found the body of a missing man near the Wisconsin Dells. Rescue crews found his body in the Wisconsin River yesterday morning. Matthew Haas was last seen alive on New Year's Day. Investigators say they don't think he was murdered based on the evidence they have so far. In sports, the Bucks beat Washington last night 123-113. Wisconsin edged out Minnesota 60-63. And Marquette cruised past St. John's 96-85. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Natural curiosity.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So how's the GOP clown show going for you? Is it everything that we were told it was going to be? Are the ratings good? Like I said at the beginning, this is what we were expecting. You knew this was coming. You knew the show. You got the popcorn there, everything ready. And I had a bunch of people say, well, today looks like yesterday. Yeah, tomorrow's probably going to look a lot like yesterday, too. But here to share some thoughts on, well, just how fun and entertaining this whole process has been. I've asked our good friend Bob Ney to come talk with us. Bob's a former Ohio congressman and political analyst. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
So let's jump into the middle of this. Thoughts? Did you think it was going to be, what are we on, 7 now? Going on 8? Do you think it was going to, is this what we thought?
Groundhog Day, the movie Groundhog Day. This may go on a while. No, I didn't think this was going to happen because never in the time that I was there did I witness either party take a leadership vote to the floor that they didn't have. It simply, it doesn't happen, and it shouldn't happen.
No.
Now, when I see members, there was one from Florida. I don't even want to go into to Gates, Matt. But there were some others that said, this is invigorating. No, it's embarrassing. It's sad. And it is uncalled for that this is happening at all. 20 people within the Republican side are holding the floor hostage, holding the process, the committees, the pay, you know, for the staff. Everything's being held hostage. So that's one, you know, problem that's out there. But the second is that no matter how this ends up, Rick, no matter how it ends up, whether McCarthy yields or McCarthy keeps going for 3 weeks, whatever happens, there's not going to be the ability, I would doubt, it's not going to be the ability of people to come back together and say, well, we fought the good fight, now we're, you know, going to go at it. There's always going to be about 5 people that are going to wake up, maybe have breakfast together in the House dining room and say, you know, I think we ought to take the speaker out today.
Yep.
I think we ought to change the course of the entire floor today. 5 people on the Republican side are going to continue to do that. There's not going to be healed wounds because they went to the point here. And look, this isn't about, you know, defending McCarthy as the best speaker that we could have ever imagined. But the fact remains that nobody else in the privacy of the caucus when they had the vote last year, the end of December, nobody had the majority of votes that he had. Once you get somebody with the majority of votes, that's your leader. It would be like Nancy Pelosi, you know, would get 90% of the votes in the Democrat caucus and say 10% said, we want somebody else. And then all of a sudden that 10% tries to hijack her. And here's the problem with most of the Freedom Caucus is behind us. Rick, here's the number one problem. They are used to saying no, with no game plan,
yep,
no compass. It's just no, no, we're the no people. And this time, if McCarthy goes into, you know, self-imposed stoppage of this entire thing, if he does that, then what? They don't have a candidate that can make it. They don't have one.
Well, this is where the talk of a consensus candidate comes in. You know, I heard Brian Fitzpatrick's name being thrown around, and I'm going, Democrats, no, this isn't the moment for Democrats to come in and save the day. This is a moment for Republicans to look at their party and go, this is what you've got. Because no matter who the speaker is, those 20 Republicans are still going to be a thorn in his side. And I said from the beginning, I want Kevin McCarthy to be speaker. I want him to get everything that he wants because those 20 people are going to make his life, well, not pleasant.
Well, it's going to be worse than John Boehner. You had John Boehner, then you had Speaker Ryan from Wisconsin. Boehner, of course, got his arms ripped off. You know, look, the worst place to have an automobile accident is in the middle of the road, and that's what he tried to do. People didn't trust him. He said one thing. His staff said something to another group of people, and he ended. He quit. Ryan came in and survived. Finally, Ryan at the end is like, I don't want to do this anymore. McCarthy will be in worse condition, far worse than John Boehner ever was. Yep. At least John Boehner had a bit of a honeymoon period. This is an instant divorce. If he becomes the speaker, but you're right. The Democrats at some point in time, let's say this goes on for 3 weeks, then I think the Democratic side can come in to say, here's a possible way we run our government. Yes, I think they can. But to have those discussions now would be useless because the Republicans, with a slight majority, they still won. It's their problem to constitute a government. And here's the biggest problem they have. And if the Democrats are smart, well, I'll tell you what they can do next year. with amendments this year. But if they're smart right now, you know, let it sit, because here's the theme. The Republicans can't run a government that they can't even constitute.
I agree. And but here's the problem. And, this is the same kind of fight that we talked about back when they were taking Marjorie Trainwreck Greene off the committees. It's going, horrible idea. Why are you saving them from themselves? Saddle them with that albatross. Make them deal with their own problems. And to me, this is it. Continue doing what they've been doing for the last 6-7 votes. Vote for Hakeem Jeffries. Stay unified. Stay on the same page. And let the Republicans have the clown show. Because, look, we all know nothing's going to happen in the House anyway, because Republicans aren't going to let it happen. So this is part of the performance.
Well, again, you're right. They're going to constitute a government eventually. They have to. I would think they're going to constitute a government that's not going to work, because they can investigate all day long. They can investigate Hunter Biden. They can investigate Joe Biden. They can investigate the White House dog. I don't care who they want to investigate. Here's their problem. Investigations aside, look, Democrat side learned some of this too. Investigations aside, you have to have, your mantra, your public policy, what you want to do. People are out here. You know this better than anybody. You're a grassroots blue-collar guy. You know that every morning people are sitting there at their breakfast table thinking, how do I get through today? How do I pay for this? How do I pay for that? Consumers are being bludgeoned by corporations rising these prices. And so that has to be the point of business for the Republicans. But it's not going to be the point of business because, yes, investigations, they'll be aligned on that. Nobody will complain within the Republican side what they want to do. But on the public policy side, every day is going to be a war zone, every single day. And eventually, if you want to do something, you are going to have to look to the Democratic side.
No, especially with these 20, Scott Perry, my congressman, being one of them, especially with these 20 who are the fly in the ointment, the sand and the Vaseline. Right. And look, they're not going to pay a price for this. And this is the sad part of our political system and how our districts are gerrymandered. And we can go down the list of why they're not going to pay a price for this, because those people are put in there to do exactly what they're doing. There's no consequence for them to hold things up because they don't believe in government. They think government's broken. And look, they're showing us.
But that's okay for 20 of them. Here's the problem. And I was saying what the Democrats could do this upcoming year. Here's the problem, Rick, for the Republican side. If the Democrats really think about this and craft amendments to every single bill that comes to the floor, amendments that the 20 say, oh, that's ridiculous, we don't want this to pass, but a group of Republicans in marginal districts or not so safe districts sit there and go, ooh, it's hot on the floor, I'm sweating over this one. They're going to have to go with Democrats on the amendments. When they do that, the 20 are going to go, well, you ought to not be in the Republican Party. You went with the Democrats. They're controlling the floor of the House. There is the smart avenue for the Democrats to take. Craft really good, spicy, sexy amendments, as we call them, that on the floor, marginal districts have to say, I got to vote for that. Then the 20 are going to go after the Speaker and say, well, we want them thrown out. The Democrats won the floor today. That's public process, but they're not going to like it. So the 20 will disrupt even further when the public process comes, because those 20 are used to no only. They are not used to policy.
No, and you're spot on accurate. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney. But here's the thing, and this is where, again, I come back to, these people aren't about governing. It's about, podcasts and Fox News and getting attention on talk radio. It's about the performance. And we've seen this in these speeches. I mean, I've been watching this and I'm going, do we have to go through all of these moments of, hey, look at me, cast your vote, move on, let's get through this. Do we have to have this performative stuff so that they get their 15 seconds to get, hey, look at me? Does that have to happen?
Well, not only should that not have happened, here's the other thing. And I listened last night pretty intensely to former Speaker Newt Gingrich. And if you listen to what he said, and I made a couple phone calls to D.C. today just to ask about this topic. And the answer I got back, without quoting names because they're terrified, but the answer is yes, Gingrich was accurate. On the news last night, Gingrich threw one thing out there that I thought was fascinating. He spoke about how this shouldn't be happening, and you know, the 20 lost, but they should go with the majority of the members, et cetera. But then he made a statement that, and this rings of Newt Gingrich, he made a statement that they're not after policy. They made 30 requests, 30 this morning, changes, and the day before, of the incoming speaker to be, for things they wanted, committees, offices, trips, things they wanted. They were after him for that, not public policy. So this wasn't about, at this point in time, the great philosophy. They came with brand new things. Look, he already gave everything away except every member of his family. You know, McCarthy gave everything away. Yeah. And then they still came yesterday and today wanting more things. But again, not all of it's public policy. It's a give me. This is what I want for my own political power in the U.S. House.
Oh, see, that's an important point to make. And I'm glad you made that, because, again, it goes back to that. It's about me, not about we. It's about what can I get, what's going to raise my star on Fox News or on the podcast circuit. You're spot on.
Right. And because some of these people are people that are out there saying, I'm doing this, and I've read some of it today, for the integrity of the system. I'm doing it because I believe in it. Yet some are running to McCarthy saying, can I have this special little committee? Can I be the out front press person? You know, can I do this type of outreach? Maybe some special committees that go across the United States. All of that junk is going on that should never be going on in a speaker's race ever.
So let me ask you the other side of this then, since this is now the moment where, you know, the representatives are now going, hey, what's in it for me? Isn't this where, you know, like going back to earmarks, where you would go, hey, I got to take stuff back to my district. Isn't this where maybe the system was a little bit better when they were thinking about taking things back to their district to make themselves look better, instead of just, hey, how can I enrich myself now in the spotlight, or am I off base?
No, you're on. Look, the earmarks, and every time I read an article, and they'll throw my name in there. We didn't earmark for Jack. All right. Jack asked for an amendment that we considered that we didn't do. But yes, earmarks were done. We had a couple of members that earmarked, and they got, you know, goods and rugs and, you know, things for it. You don't ruin the entire system because, you know, a few people or people like myself were wheeling and dealing, you know, with Jack Abramoff. You don't throw the system out. Here's a point I used to tell my constituents. I go around the district. I meet with council people. I meet with unions. I meet with development people. I meet with community leaders. I go back to D.C. and say, hey, the consensus was we want that bridge. We want this building. We want this program. Now, who better to bring that back as an earmark, me or somebody unelected, a bureaucrat in D.C. that doesn't even know where, you know, Blair, Ohio is,
right,
you know, or Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They don't know. No, earmarks are perfectly fine. Here's what you do with them to wrap this up. You put the person's name on it. Nay asked for this. Smith asked for that. And then it ends any problems if there's anything going on that shouldn't be. So the earmarks are good. And the earmarks are for the good of the district. These are personal earmarks being requested. But can I have this office? By the way, there's little hideaways under the Capitol, very few.
Right.
I know I be part of dishing them out. There are very few hideaways, not enough for members. Members, it's like gold. I'll bet you somebody's like, can I have a hideaway? Can I have that one, please?
That George Santos guy, I'm sure he's begging for a hideaway.
Yeah, but he'll put a false name on the front of it. It won't be Santos. It'll be Pelosi or something else.
Did you hear that they're making McCarthy move his stuff out of the speaker's office, and that they actually gave his office away? So he's actually, you know, legislatively homeless at this moment.
Right. Yeah, because they have a lottery. That's the other thing I wanted to tell your listeners. Besides the fact that this is so rotten for the system, which I recognize, this is sad. It became sort of humorous at first. And then you look at it and you're like, this isn't the way government should work, and they should be embarrassed. But there's also another side to this. You know, people that went door to door for their candidate, family, people that dedicated 2 years of their life stuffing envelopes, you know, doing phone calls, they all came to D.C. to see their members sworn in and have the, you know, the beginning of the rules and the floor of the House and all the pomp and ceremony to it. And also, staffers happen to like to be paid.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice, you know? So you can, you know, keep your electric on. None of that is occurring. They came to D.C., the supporters, and went, this is it? This is what happens? I mean, what a personal letdown for people. I'm sure a lot of members had to turn to their crowds, because we used to have people come out, maybe 50, 60 people, and say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that this has happened.
Wow. So do you see an end to this, or does this just continue to go on unless McCarthy pulls back? And do you see a consensus candidate? Is it Mike Gallagher or Brian Fitzpatrick? Do you see that? Or I've heard Scalise's name thrown around. Do you see them solving this?
They're going to go after Scalise, who's probably the one in line. They're going to go after him the same as they did McCarthy, I think. That's the problem. So they're going to have to probably dig a little deeper, although Scalise, you know, will do a little better than McCarthy. I'm not sure he'll, you know, pass that threshold he needs to pass. So right now, consensus candidate's not in the mix. But if this goes on for about 7 or 8 days, the government is not functioning. The clerk of the House, unelected, is running the entire U.S. House. And so if this goes on too much, a good consensus candidate, I think, could be thrown out there. I don't see that as the logical next step. Here's the problem with McCarthy. The problem for the 20, I'll call them, the Freedom Caucus 20. If McCarthy steps out tonight, who? Jim Jordan of Ohio will never get the McCarthy supporters. This thing has now frayed feelings. There's anger. It's not going to heal in a matter of, we got a brand new candidate in a matter of an hour. This thing is so frayed. I can't see where, I think McCarthy has to continue on till maybe members get pressure from back home of, hey, constitute a government. I don't know. I thought I could see an end to this. I thought it'd go 2 ballots, Rick, and be done. I'm not sure. I still think McCarthy hangs in there. And eventually, I think the ace in the hole, the big guy from Florida, gets on the phone, which he's done, but he gets on the phone again. Maybe he starts promising fundraisers for some of the mega supporters.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe he's sweetening the pot with a little bit of something extra that the speaker can't dole out.
That's right. You know, hey, I'll come in your district twice for you next year. You know, I'll put you on my, what's his network or whatever. I'll put you on one of my social. Yeah. I'll put you on as Batman on my cards. You know, he could do that, you know.
Isn't this sad? I mean, yeah, this
see is Matt from Florida in a Batman outfit, right? Come on.
This is what you get with patronage government, isn't it?
Yes. And you made the best point. This isn't an earmark that's for the good of the district.
Nope.
This is a personal earmark. That's what's going on.
Wow. Sad, scary stuff, but I look forward to you coming back and keeping us up to date on this and sharing some more thoughts.
I will be back in 2 months when we still don't have a speaker.
As the clown show continues, as always, Bob, I appreciate the time,
Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff. Our good friend Bob Ney. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. 2013 saw the end of what may have been the longest hotel strike in history. On Father's Day 2003, 130 workers from the Congress Hotel on Michigan Avenue in Chicago walked off the job. They were protesting a reduction in wages and the hotel's hiring of minimum wage subcontractors. For 10 years, the strikers, led by Unite Here, picketed the hotel. The hotel management remained unmoved. Unite Here quietly ended the strike, but that was not the longest strike in history. Not by a long shot. On this day in 1961, barbers' assistants in Copenhagen, Denmark, ended their strike. They had first walked off the job in 1928. And the Guinness Book of World Records has declared the strike the longest in recorded history. Every strike or work stoppage has its own character. A strike may be as short as just a portion of a day, or a strike may last for weeks months, or years. Sometimes union members call strikes to last a specific amount of time, usually a few days. Other times, union members vote for an open-ended strike, with the duration uncertain. The tactic of a strike is one of the most extreme measures a union can take. Usually, a strike means that all other efforts to gain a fair contract have been exhausted. Long strikes have become less common in recent years. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there were only 15 major work stoppages in 2013. Of these, two-thirds lasted 3 days or less. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2. Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Great to be back after, like I said, a little vacation, a little time away. We were supposed to be back yesterday, but we're breaking ground on a new studio space, which, because we've just grown in such enormous ways that we need more space, more technology. We need, now got to bring in some more stuff. So we need more room. So we're breaking ground on a new studio space. And the person who was running the backhoe, leveling the ground, hit the internet wire and basically knocked us out. So, today was spent fixing that disaster. Because, when this stuff happens, it's bad. I mean, that's the best I can go with. It's bad. And coming back from vacation, you're still trying to get the cobwebs out and still trying to figure out, hey, which way are we going? How do we get back in the swing and then to have catastrophe happen? So if you were wondering where were you yesterday? That's where it was. I wish we were still on the beach, to be honest. Wish we were still there because it was a beautiful trip. Family had a great time. And I had one of these just magic moments. And over the years, one of the things that I've done for Christmas is I don't buy stuff. I'm not a stuff person. I give my kids things to do. We'll go to sporting events throughout the years. We'll take a weekend away and go do things. That's the present. That time, that experience, that place, that all of that. And what we've done for the last number of years, probably a decade now, except for the pandemic years, is we run off to Florida and we spend 2 weeks on the beach together. A couple of little presents, little things that the kids, little things that they want. No, none of these huge hours of opening stuff. But I had this cool moment where my son, we're out in the ocean and we're just kind of, riding the waves and having a good time. And he looks at me and he goes, I'm really grateful that you give us things to do and experience as opposed to stuff. And it was one of these really cool moments of, he's 16 and he's starting to become a man and he's starting to understand the world a little bit. And it was just one of those kind of maturity moments that I was like, wow. I mean, my wife has done a great job with this boy. But it was kind of a cool thing. And it was one of those things that I wanted to share because I think we get hung up so much in material things that we kind of forget the time and the experiences. And the fact that, he's now getting to a mature point that he can see that and be appreciative of it. Now, it could be just blowing smoke. That's always possible too. But it was one of those kind of cool things. So for me, the holiday experience was just fantastic, and it did give me the opportunity to recharge, re-energize, reconnect. It was a good holiday. I hope you had a good holiday as well. I'd love to hear your experiences, your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you missed any of today's program, thericksmithshow.com is where you go to get the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you will find ours, from Stitcher to Podbean, iTunes, all of those places and more. Also, remember, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, especially if I said something that got under your skin. Great to be back. Looking forward to tomorrow. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the